It's good to be big.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. If you look at our economy through the eyes of giant corporations, things can look pretty good. They've been reporting billions in profits the last few days, from Goldman Sachs to the drug company Merck, the heavy equipment maker Caterpillar. Late yesterday, it was Apple saying quarterly earnings were up 15%, and good for them. But if you think of the strength of our economy as its mom and pops, I'm not sure you want to hear this morning's news from the National Small Business Association. The NSBA represents companies with 13 employees on average. Reporter Mitchell Hartman at our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting says today the group releases its mid-year survey.
Here's what's gotten worse since December: revenues, profits, number of employees on the payroll, and expectations for the next 6 months are down as well. Todd McCracken is president of the National Small Business Association.
There doesn't really seem to be a silver lining. There's not much here at all that seems to be have gone the right way.
He tried to be a bit upbeat.
The only, you know, good news here is that the news is bad enough that it looks a whole lot like a bottom, and that maybe there's no way to go but up.
Small business owners list trouble with financing as one of their biggest challenges going forward. Two-thirds have seen interest rates or other terms worsen on their credit cards. More than a third had their credit lines or limits cut.
There was a lot of talk earlier in the year about stimulus and improving lending, but for a whole host of reasons, a lot of that hasn't gotten through the pipeline to them yet.
Only 3% of small business owners say they've seen a positive impact from the economic stimulus package so far. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
More big corporate earnings are coming today, including Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo, Boeing, the drug maker Eli Lilly. Investors will be watching. Major European markets are down less than 1% now. Asian markets were mixed. Yesterday, Wall Street was up mildly. The Dow gained 67 points and closed at 8,915. Another earnings report is just in this morning. Whirlpool now says second quarter profits fell by a third. Consumer demand for its Maytags and KitchenAids and Whirlpools weakened significantly. Millions of chocolate addicts in Britain can now satisfy their craving with a clear conscience. One of the country's biggest candy makers, Cadbury, has launched a fair trade chocolate bar. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
Cadbury's Dairy Milk is the UK's top-selling candy bar. The company shifts around 300 million of them a year. From today, consumers who buy one may experience an unusual sensation that they're doing something virtuous. They still may be putting on weight, but they're also helping some struggling cocoa farmers in Ghana. Barbara Crowther is with the Fair Trade Foundation. She says every bar of dairy milk now sold in Britain will come from farmers who are protected by the fair trade deal.
Whatever happens in the market, they'll either get the market price, or if the market price dips, they'll get the fair trade minimum price, making sure they get a decent return on their cocoa.
Cadbury says the new dairy milk bar in Britain won't cost any more. The company is now considering whether to roll out the same fair trade product in the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
American Public Media presents After the Bell, a weekly podcast that makes sense of the week in business and the economy, available at marketplace.org.
You will not be surprised to learn American restaurant chains have been trying to lure customers by discounting their food. What might surprise you is it doesn't seem to be working. Analysts say the discounts have not only cut into profits, they haven't really brought in that many customers. We're joined now by psychology and business professor Kit Yarrow at Golden Gate University. Morning, Kit.
Good morning.
So the way food discounting is supposed to work is it brings more people through the door. They buy the cheap item, but they also buy other food. And if they're satisfied, they'll come back again and buy at your regular prices. Why isn't it working that way?
Well, I think consumers have really been saturated with discount offers. And especially in fast food, all of the restaurant chains are really saying the same thing. And it's become a lot of noise to consumers.
Well, then what is a restaurant supposed to do in this recession?
Well, I think they have to go back to talking about what is special about them, which hopefully is, you know, something tasty to eat or convenient to eat. Or, you know, the other thing that always seems to work is to talk about things being free.
Well, so discounting isn't bad. They're just not discounting enough.
Well, it's just become, you know, the special deal really isn't special anymore. Mm-hmm. It's expected pricing. And, you know, low prices are appreciated, but once they become so common, they're expected, there really isn't any sort of sense of urgency to buy or to buy here instead of at the competitors.
Does this say anything permanent about the American consumer mindset, or do you think consumers will snap back to old behaviors when this recession ends?
Oh, I definitely think it's permanent. I think consumers have really become used to being courted by all sorts of merchants, retailers of all kinds, and they are recognizing their power, I think, and much more demanding than ever. And I think they're kind of perpetually looking for and expecting that pricing is going to be, you know, in their favor from now on.
So not just restaurants?
No, not just restaurants. And, you know, what I think retailers have to do at this point is to go back to looking at how they can differentiate themselves in some other way.
Kit Yarrow teaches psychology and business at Golden Gate University. Kit, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Finally, there is a lot of plastic in Hollywood. Now there's going to be more wax. Madame Tussauds is opening on Hollywood Boulevard, right around the corner from the 44-year-old Hollywood Wax Museum, which had been the only shop in town. To people who ask, can that street support two wax museums? Madame Tussauds' answer is, please don't call us that. We're more than a wax museum, they say. We're a place where you can ride a bicycle with a wax Lance Armstrong and sing karaoke in front of a wax Simon Cowell, who gives you a wax dirty look. The tour guides seem to be split over which attraction will dominate. Madame Tussauds is known worldwide, but the old Hollywood Wax Museum is cheaper, and they say these days that counts for a lot. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.